its host and guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, as we end our Crime Safety Month, we're going to be talking with an organization that many people may not think that what they do is relevant to crime, but in African-American community, it is essential to stopping crime. And our guest today is Mr. Charles Johnson, who's director of My Brother's Keeper, as we end our Crime Conversation Month. Good morning, Charles. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing this morning?
Not too bad. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from Kansas City?
Born and raised here in Kansas City. Well, born in Columbia, Missouri, but predominantly raised here in Kansas City since the age of 2 years old. All my school and everything come from Kansas City, Missouri.
So you are the director of My Brother's Keeper. Who founded the organization?
This particular organization that I am the executive director of was founded by Councilman Brandon Ellerton years ago.
And how did you become the director of the organization?
Good question, Joe. Good question. At that time, I owned a consulting business that dealt with male mentoring, specifically young Afro-American males. And Councilman Ellerton at that time was a state representative for the state of Missouri, and with his timing and duties in Jefferson City, he didn't have the time to really put in to My Brother's Keeper like his vision was, and he basically asked me would I like to take over it. I pondered on it for a while, did some praying, because like I said, I already had another organization, but as I looked at the two platforms, they were parallel. Both of them dealt with mentoring, and that was my passion with male. So I accepted the responsibility.
So, Charles, what is the mission of I Am My Brother's Keeper?
To reinstore the family, the male figure, back into the family, the community. That's a component I think that we lack as Afro-American males. Not understanding we have a moral responsibility to reach back and uplift some of the younger men within our community. So we focus on a lot of mentoring, a lot of one-on-one. It's very challenging sometimes, but praise be to God that I'm able to have that ear to sit and listen.
One thing that you all are really known for is for feeding the community. And a lot of people may not know that, but we're going to get into it, but you all do the food distributions. When did you start the food distributions?
The food drive started at the beginning of the pandemic back in March or April of 2020. It kind of came through about with a thought or vision with Councilman Ellerton, parent with My Brother's Keeper, and stated during the time of the pandemic when it really hit us, he would like to do something to give back to the community, and asked me to ponder on something that we could do. God just woke me up one morning, Joe, said food drive. I had no idea how to do it, who to reach out to, but he just led me, and through that vision, that foresight, I was blessed to establish a relationship with Harvested Food Network. And from that point on, it's been all God, man.
I will say this, you all, the pandemic had hit, times were tight, and you all just, it was like overnight boom.
Yes.
And you were there, and you were there not just once a month like some places are, you were there every week.
Every week. You know, just here in Kansas City, one in five households has food insecurity. If that household is a single parent in there, that's one in three and within the inner city of Kansas City, that may go down to 1 and 2. It's been a very a double sword. It's been a blessing to be able to feed the community in the manner that we have, but at the same time, it really magnifies a problem with food insecurity that we have right here in Kansas City alone. And I've seen people of all walks of life come through that line. For one thing, we don't judge. As I share that with my volunteers consistently, we're not here to judge. I don't care if they pull up in a limousine, a Mercedes Benz. That does not indicate the food insecurity they may have in their household. That what you drive doesn't dictate who you are. We ask for no ID. You don't have to fill out no application. All you have to do is just come to the location, open your trunk, unlock your doors. We put it in there for you. But it's been a blessing, man. It really puts a smile on my heart when I see some people in the community and they reflect back and say, "Charles, thanks. I was in that line last week or the week before." It really puts a smile on my heart from that perspective.
And I know I grew up with my grandmother, and the one thing she always had in her backyard is she had a garden. She could do tomato. There was always tomatoes, fried green tomatoes. She would have tomatoes. She would have squash. She would have cucumbers. Yes. And now my aunt has her garden in her backyard, and there's always different things. So that's one of the things we've gotten away from, because the older generations, those that came up through the Depression when they knew really hard times,
yes,
always made sure that they could grow something that helped them with the grocery bill, because they didn't have to buy those type of vegetables. They grew them. And then they could do meat. I mean, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she could cook anything. She's like, "Oh no, baby, we don't throw out molded bread. We take the molded, we cut the mold off,
bread
and we make
pudding.
Bread pudding out of
bread
that."
Yes.
She'd be like, "No, we don't get rid of that leftover grease in the pan. We gonna put some flour in there. That's gonna be the gravy." You know, we've seemed to have gotten away from a lot of that. Those things that carried us through from that old generation to this next generation, you know, now it's let me pull up at McDonald's, let me, you know, I'm gonna order this on the app. And then you look at, well, where's your money going? And you don't have money for this and you don't have money for that. But yet my dad and my grandma told me, you know, you buy what you need and you deal with what you want. You may get some of it, you may get none of it, but if you always make sure that you take care of those four squares, the roof, you know, the roof over the head, yes, food in the stomach, and you know, keep the house intact.
Right. You know, and one thing that we've been blessed with Harvesters, I stress the importance of the product that we are serving is healthy, are already healthy. So we're having our vegetables, we have our meat, we have our dairy product. My weekly food drives are in partnership with Mount Sinai Baptist Church, 3634 Brooklyn, whose pastor is Dr. Alfred White, a beautiful brother. I mean, he has been with me, him and his church has been with me every week with this food drive. Even from the perspective of the church coming out of their own pocket to rent refrigerated trucks, so we can have the product there at the beginning of the food line. Pastor White has even went farther to obtaining dairy products. I pass out fresh eggs and milk with every food drive. Fresh eggs and milk. Grandma always said, "You got some eggs and milk and some bread, you have a meal."
That's right.
So and the meats as well.
And I'm gonna say this right now, folks, with the inflation. And a gallon of milk is anywhere between 5 and 6.
Yes.
A dozen of eggs is almost anywhere from between $1.85 and $2.50.
Yeah.
You know, that right there is just a $7 blessing that you've just given somebody.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, you're not asking anybody to fill out any paperwork. Mm-hmm. It's just come with a need.
Well, with the counseling, you know, we identified the insecurity. You know, we live in a food desert.
Yes.
In the third district. And I'm saying the third district, but my food drives are not limited to the third district. I've been all over Kansas City with food drives. I even done one for the Islamic community out at the Islamic Center out on the south side of Kansas City that was strictly feasible for Islamic diet. Harvesters, I take my hat off to Harvesters. I think us as a community, we take for granted what Harvesters really does for a community over there. They have not told me no. If I tell them I need four semi trucks full of food, I've been getting it.
And folks, what you need to understand about Harvesters is this. They exist from donations that come from other people.
Correct.
But also they can use our donations, because I remember when I was a school board member, I challenged the other school board members to go out there and we sack potatoes, yes, we sack vegetables.
Yeah. And that's fun.
And it's fun.
Yeah, that's
you
fun.
Go out there and 2 hours goes by really quick.
Yeah, it does.
And that is something that we as a community can do to help Harvesters for what they're doing for us. So if you ever, you can call out there to Harvesters and we'll look up the number during the break and you can go out there and see what you can do to help them. You know, I've had friends who've had birthday celebrations. They said, you know, I don't want anything this year. What I want is to give back and help the community. And people would sit and do that.
All right. And it's also, I'm gonna put my plug in for my food drives, because I can always use volunteers. All the food drives are volunteer driven. Everyone out there is not being compensated any monetary. They're not promising any food off the line. Before every food drive, of course, we have a little prayer to bless us. But one thing that I stress during that pre-meeting, before we begin to distribute the food, that we're here to serve the community. So if some of my volunteers are in need of some food themselves, I tell them, get back in your car, get what you need, and then come back and volunteer, because on this side, we're giving. We're not receiving. We're giving blessings. And it's been beautiful. I have some volunteers who has been with me since 2020, every week, taking them a few hours out of their day to help someone a little bit less fortunate within our community. So I can always use volunteers.
And
always.
It is great. And I've come out there because I know, working with the councilman, we come out there, we make sure the sidewalks were in good repair.
Yes,
there was no issue with different things.
Yes,
and we definitely worked on that because it was a key focal point for the community, and we wanted people to be able to come and get food, but also to make sure that they were safe at the same time.
Correct.
And that was one of the things he definitely worked on. Folks, Harvesters Community Food Network is located at 3801 Topping Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri, 64129. Their phone number is 816-929-3000. The hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. They're closed on Sunday. But as a caveat, some volunteer shifts are available during some evenings. So again, give them a call, 816-929-3000. And they're located at 3801 Topping Avenue.
And it's a good idea to call them ahead of time, because I think they still have some pandemic protocols still in place with those wishing to come down and do some volunteer with bagging up the stuff and everything.
So Charles, you started out doing food distributions every week.
Correct.
For over a year.
Presently, still doing it presently.
How many are you doing per month now?
We've cut back now, and a lot of it's due to our volunteers. But we're doing two a month. The second and the fourth Thursday of every month at 3634 Brooklyn, Mount Sinai Baptist Church. But I would love to do more. I would love to increase it. That's why I'm stressing about volunteers.
And what would it take for you to expand that to, say, having a location, having one second and fourth week in the heart of the city, and then maybe having a rotating one that may go up north or may go up south, What would it take for you to be able to do something like that?
All they have to do is reach out to me, because harvesters have a certain criteria that you have to adhere to as far as accommodating the food drive, specifically with the deliveries. I have to look at traffic, location. Is it feasible for cars to get in and out of the food drive? There's a few logistics that has to be worked out. But if it's feasible, all you have to do is reach out to myself, Charles Johnson.
What's your phone number?
Area code 816-529-8166. Once again, my number is area code 816-529-8166. Or you can send me an email. That's cj.iammybrotherskeeper@gmail.com. I am my brother's keeper is one word.
So you started out doing once a week, and I know that, you know, how many people did you feed in that initial stage?
Joe, you know, it was, it was times at the beginning. Anyone that know where Mount Sinai is located, that's right there at 36 in Brooklyn, where that little funny loop goes around the street. There was times at the beginning that we had a line from the church all the way back to Linwood.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, it was crazy. But from March of 2020 to roughly January of 21, in January of 21, myself, I am my brother's keeper, Mount Sinai Baptist Church, and Harvester's Food Network was recognized by the city of Kansas City concerning our food distributions. And it was a blessing, because Harvester's keeps concrete numbers on their food that comes out. What X amount of poundage should feed X amount of families. And we received a proclamation from the city based upon the numbers that Harvester provided to them for this proclamation. It was something like 650,000 families that we had fed. And that number comes up from, like I broke down, the poundage of food that they sent out. X amount of pounds should feed X amount. But 650,000 families during that period of time, and a lot of those families was redundant, weekly coming out. It was crazy, Joe. I had no idea that we had reached that magnitude of people in Kansas City.
There was a lot of people were at home.
Yes.
Jobs were gone.
Yes.
There was no money, and no money, no food.
It was crazy. As my brother would say, it was all God.
But I want to say this. But what you did, stop crying, because if a man is hungry or he needs to feed his family,
he's going to eat. Yes, he's going to eat. Being it make the right decision or the wrong decision, if he's actually family oriented to take care of his family, he's going to eat. So during that period of time, I don't know what percentage it is, but I know in logic, if you have food on your table, you have, that's somewhat of a healthy household from a nutritious perspective. And we understand the various factors that are contributing to crime within our district, and the lack thereof of food is a pretty nice sized number to contributing to the crime within our community.
And the third district just didn't become a food desert. The third district has been a food desert since I was a child.
And you say that again.
And I mean, yes. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I grew up at the time when my mama used to send me down to the store to Milgram's, when Milgram's was on 31st, was on Prospect. And Safeway was on the other side.
Right.
And, you know, you go to Milgram's, get this. If Milgram's don't get it, go across the street.
Yes.
Safeway and get it from there.
Right, right.
And bring me back my change. only quarter. Yeah, my mama wanted back her change.
Right.
And then as the neighborhood changed,
our thinking process changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, Milgram's closed, Safeway closed,
And then
there was no food. No.
Then there was no food. And then the Piggly Wiggly came in, and then things went really, the quality of food really went down. And a lot of people see that, you know, there was always that one staple, Big D's Liquor Store right there on the corner on 35th and Prospect. They've torn down now and rebuilt.
Correct.
But there was always a liquor store on every other corner where you could go get some high-priced bread. You could always get the chips, which in turn contributed to diseases within our community, diabetes.
High blood pressure, hypertension.
Exactly, because you had your pork rinds covered in salt. You had your hot chips covered in salt. And but those were the meals that a lot of kids, you know, they go down and buy that this sugary food or that. And then you kind of say, well, how do we end up with that? Because we didn't have a good quality grocery store.
You know, Joe, that's ironic that you said that, because at the beginning of the food drive, and still presently, I have the thought sometimes that I didn't want any pork products at the food drives. I want all healthy food for my community. I want some healthy food. And me and the councilman talked as well. He kind of had the same thought I had. I kind of sit back and thought of it. I said, well, Charles, some people eat pork. I'm not saying that it's healthy, but some people eat it. And a ham goes a long ways in a household.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of things.
Beans and ham. Ham sandwich.
Yes.
Ham hocks.
Yes.
Baked ham.
Yes.
And then you can turn and dice it up and make a stew.
Right. So I reconsidered that thought with Harvesters, and they understood my perspective from the beginning. And I rethought about that to take whatever you can get from one food drive where I know you have some form of food on your table at least until next week. Because there's no limit to what we do. If you say you need, or you come in, it's five in your household, who am I to judge that you're telling the truth or not? All I'm giving with a good heart, and I'm praying. And people don't really waste food too much.
No.
So when I'm giving food, you know, some people were saying, well, we giving too much food, or they just lying. It ain't that many people in there. Who am I to judge that? Because one thing about it that we stress, one thing I stress during my food drives, during my social media posts, announcing my food drive, always think about your neighbor. Think about the elders in your community, or those who are disabled, that are unable to get to the food drive. All you have to do is tell me you have a neighbor that's handicapped, unable to get. I'm going to give you food for them. So it's really been a blessing, Joe.
And I'm going to say this. I've lived on I live in my grandmother's house. I've lived on my block basically all my life. And you know the people in your block, the people who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And the city twice a month gives out fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
And I will go down and say, I need four boxes.
Mm-hmm.
When I drive away, I already know exactly where those four boxes are going.
Correct.
And who I'm going to drop them off to. Don't say anything to anybody. I just leave them on their porch, and they come home and find a box full of fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And the seniors love it because, you know, right now, gas bills are up, light bills are
up.
Everything is up.
Yes.
And people are having to make do. And the first thing you're going to do is, well, okay, I got to put gas into the car because I got to get back from work.
You have a bunch of choices to make.
Yeah, you got choices to make. And now, with what you all do again, that reduces that choice a little bit, because I know if I may run short on food, I've got a way in which to put some food on the table between what you all do, what the city does down there. A family can still make sure they eat, which in return reduces crime, because I'm not out there holding somebody up to get their money to buy food.
For roughly 17 months, Joe, don't hold me solid to that number, I was every week with the food drive, except 1 week, I think that was last year, where we had frigid temperatures. I'm talking about it was cold. I wouldn't ask nobody to be out. But we were consistent every week. Even today, we still see the insecurity of food within our community based upon those who are coming through the food drive every week, the length of the line. It's been some food weeks that we didn't have a lot of people. I would load my car up, donate to other places that I know that fed people. I had my elders that I delivered to every week, but I would just drive down the street. I had a whole bunch of turkeys for Thanksgiving. Some of them were donated, harvesters donated, some other entities, individuals donated to give back to the community. And I just drove down the street and gave away turkeys. But I was specifically looking for mothers, a young lady that might have some kids with her, you know, here, happy Thanksgiving, you know. And people really appreciate it. But we have a major problem within our city with hunger. You know, where you're speaking of 1 in 5 families, it's experienced some form of food insecurity. And then if that family is a single parent family, that's down to 1 in 3.
So they're counting our census right now at 500,000 people. So if we're saying 1 in 5, we're saying we have a food shortage problem with 100,000
people. 100,000 people, man.
And then if we're talking 1 in 3, we're talking almost 150,000 people.
Yes.
That are, you know, and I'm going to say this. Yes. People may think that people who live up north are not going through it.
They've been in my line.
And a lot of those people are house poor. And what I mean by house poor, yes, they're paying more on their mortgages, mm-hmm, which in turn means they don't have a lot of excess money. Mm-hmm. And for anybody right now that has an adjustable rate mortgage, that they bought more thinking the interest rates were going to stay low, they're now in the thickle of a pickle because that mortgage is now creeped up.
Yes.
And so as we go deeper into this recession, you know, gas is going up. Gas has went up. You know, I was in Indiana, and I complained about renewing my Costco card. Mm-hmm. When I got there, gas at Costco was $5.09.
I think I'm giving me a bicycle, Joe.
Gas in the community was $5.50, yes, for unleaded, $6 for diesel. So when I got back here and I was paying $4.62,
you can't appreciate
Missouri. I was appreciating that low, yes, that low gas at, yes, that point in time. So, and I'm gonna say this just as a tip: if you're a person and you have a Costco card, Costco allows 2 people on 1 membership.
Correct.
And if you don't have another person on your membership, find a friend. And get that friend and let them get a Sam's card. You put them on your card. They put you on your card. You're never anywhere around town where you can get inexpensive gas.
You know, you put up a post the other day, Joe, and was dealing with, I won't call the entity's name. I won't call the entity's name. But you were on the east side,
mm-hmm,
Jackson County East, Independence area, and you was comparing the price of this particular entity gas on that side of Kansas City versus the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
But you really put a hell of a point there because you said it's the same truck delivering gas in the inner city and that goes to the east side. But you're looking at 15, 20 cents difference just in the price of gas in the inner city. And that's crazy. I often wonder all the time, how do we actually know we're getting the gas that we're pumping?
The only way we know we're getting the gas that we're pumping is because those pumps are, they are,
you know,
the state comes out and periodically checks the pumps, and I'm just going to be blunt. I was at Quick Trip by Menards, and I looked at the price of gas there, and I'm like, wow, took a picture.
Right.
I then rolled to Quick Trip on Truman Road, the only Quick Trip in the inner city, and the price of gas was a 20 cents difference. Mm-hmm. If I buy 10 gallons of gas, that's $2 difference.
Yes, it is.
That's a loaf of bread. That's whatever we particularly may need.
Barely get you a loaf of bread.
Exactly.
It'll get you one.
And then I went back out to Quick Trip on Stadium Drive, and I mean, right there off of 40 Highway.
Another different price.
Yeah. And that came because I was out that Thursday before when I got when that place did the gas special where they pumped gas for $2.19. Yeah. And I was just out taking pictures of the line. And I was like, look at all these people out here who are trying to, who need gas, who are trying to get it $2.19 per gallon. And, you know, if the same, and they got an organization to underwrite that, so that's how they were able to do
That's true.
And so if one, what I'm saying is this, is that we've got all these organizations in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. If one organization can do it, other organizations can do
that's
it.
That's true.
And
Or collaborate and start
beginning to work in people. Yes. Because this is the question that, that I've asked people, and I got a semi-similar answer. I said, if the gas at the gas pump has went up, has been pumped out the ground, mm-hmm. transported to the refinery, refined and turned into oil, turned from oil into petroleum, transported to the gas station, that gas has been bought and paid for.
Right.
How can that gas, how can the price of that gas go up?
You know, it's crazy, man. And I even think about the gas prices, man, when I look at our lines at Food Drive. You know, people are waiting in that line. We try to move them through there as quickly as possible and everything. I even had a few cars run out of gas trying to get some food. You know, are they making a choice? Do I got enough gas to get in this line to get some food, or I say, heck with the food, get some gas. But thankful that I work with a group of volunteers in Mount Sinai that we've been very, very helpful to those who come through our line, very respectful. It's been a beautiful feeling. Like I once again, I cannot say it enough. I take my hat off to Mount Sinai Baptist Church, whose pastor is Dr. Alfred White. A beautiful brother, really has a passion of helping his people, not only around his church, but just people in general. You know, he was like, Charles, whatever you want to do, you can use my facility to help the community. I'm with you. But also we work with many other churches in Kansas City too. Just, Mount Sinai has been consistent every week. That's my number one location.
So you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations on Kansas City's community radio station. And my guest today is Charles Johnson, who's the executive director of My Brother's Keeper. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM, KKFI. And our guest today is Charles Johnson, who's the executive director of My Brother's Keeper. And this is our last of our crime conversations. So, but we've had a good month. We've had Tracy, the safety lady. We've had the police department. Folks, it was all about telling you different things you can do to stay safe. So, Charles, as you were saying, there may be individuals who listening who thinking, we would like to have a food distribution event at our location. Mm-hmm. What is the criteria to host a food distribution event?
It's a list of things, Joe. The best way that I can deal with anybody just listening that has that question, to reach out to me, Charles Johnson. My phone number is area code 816-529-8166, or by email, and that email is cj.iammybrotherskeeper@gmail.com. I am my brother's keeper is one word, and it's not case sensitive.
So I know you said earlier, people just drive up. I know we sit down to fill any paperwork. Do they have to show an ID or anything? Or they just say how many people is in their family and what their need is?
The only question I'm going to ask you is how many people are you trying to feed? That's the only question we're going to ask.
So you alluded to it earlier. We've got food insecurity, especially within the 3rd District, but you need more volunteers to help with the mission that your organization does.
If I can receive more volunteers, I believe that I can be blessed to feed more families weekly. Like I said, some of my volunteers that I presently have today, they've been with me from the very beginning. And it gets worn out. You get tired. You know, it's a blessing, Joe. I pulled up at the food drive a few months ago, and me and Pastor White was speaking about the volunteer situation at that time. But I pulled up at the food drive. I kind of go through, check, make sure that they kind of still in compliance with, you know, I have health code issues that I have to be adhered to with the volunteers and et cetera. We still practicing COVID protocols with the mask and everything at the food drive. But I pulled up, Joe, and I had a bunch of young people out as my volunteers that morning. And it, I mean, I just smiled and smiled and smiled because we're instilling that at an early age.
Yes.
With the young people. And, you know, I walked through and introduced myself to a lot of them and asked them, you know, what brought you out this morning? I come out to help, to give back to the community. And, you know, that's beautiful. It gets back to that self-determination that we as a community have to get back to. We have to take care of our own. We have to. We have to. And quit depending on others. Like you spoke about the gardens. We're seeing a lot of urban gardens coming up now in the Kansas City. Mr. Neely over there has a beautiful one with urban garden over there off of 44th and Cypress. You know, so we gradually getting back to grandma and grandpa's old ways as far as growing our own. The prices of things nowadays, some of them don't have no choice but to dig a little dirt back there and plant some tomatoes, some cucumbers, some peppers. You know,
you gotta go to community garden out there in Soil Park, and you can get by that membership. And for those that want to do a garden, they will also come out. You can have them come out and till. They'll till out their square, and you can do it. And it's like $20. So if you're a senior and you want to have that garden, but you can't turn around and dig it up, buy a community garden membership. I think it's $1 or $2 for the growing season. You can get seeds. You can get all different kind of help. So, folks.
There are resources out
there. Yeah, there are resources available and only limited by what we can do. Yes. So, Charles, but you all do so much more than just feeding the community. One of the other activities you do is mentoring. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mentoring, Joe, is something that's very, very personal to myself. So anything I do, there's a mentoring component to what I try to do. I Am My Brother's Keeper is a male mentoring organization. We mentoring, I done had them as young as 7, done had them old as myself, because we all need a mentor to some degree in life. If it's nothing but a set of ears to cry on or vent to, we all need a mentoring from one perspective. But we do mentoring. We have a program called Young Kings, Young Queens, who we pair up with GYRL, Give Yourself Real Love organization. She handles the female component, the ladies component of the mentoring, GYRL does. But we have a beautiful program for the summer. We also have a youth entrepreneurship program where youth can create their own product, or being an arts and craft or whatever. We have some land that we set up a tent, and we have, now they call them pop-up stations. But it's all youth, all kids. 100% of the proceeds the kid keeps. We don't charge nothing. All we're providing is the space for kids to come out. And the adults don't do nothing but kind of supervise or chaperone, teaching them entrepreneur skills, how you break down a $20 bill, customer service when they're coming up. And it's been beautiful. Right there off of 39th and Chestnut, a good location. We catch traffic coming down, and they see the kids out there. First of all, you're curious of what's going on because you're seeing all these kids in the tent. But we also do, I Am My Brother's Keeper has a component to assist our elders or those who are handicapped within our community from a Coles perspective with the city. I am a firm believer that some of our code inspectors go by and pick on our elders, chip paint, grass, a little bit higher than what their code is. Well, that person's a paraplegic, or that person's confined to a wheelchair. How are they going to get out there and cut their grass? But you want to give them a ticket. So that is where I Am My Brother's Keeper has stepped in the past. We'll mow a lawn, rake some leaves for someone. And I do that with my young people, instilling that community, that other word, that other M in the word community of giving back. Walking past a house and you say, wow, I cut that yard as a young man, or with our community cleanups. We pair, I Am My Brother's Keeper pairs with the Councilman Ellerton with community cleanups. And we try to get as many volunteers for that as well. Young people, old people, in the middle, it doesn't make a difference, because it'll give you some self-surprise and understand the concept of the word community. When you cleaned up that block and you going down there, you and your friends going down that block and they throw that can out there, you'd be like, hey, hold on, pick that up. I just cleaned up over here last week. So it's.
For anybody who's residing in the 3rd District, illegal dumping and trash is a huge problem.
Yes.
When I was a neighborhood leader, there was an alley right there between 31st and Agnes and Bell Fountain. And there was Total Man CDC is right there. There's a house, and then there's a brick building. And in the end of the brick building was a tire store. And I would drive down that alley, and it was like, I spent 3 months straight going down there, because folks, for you all that live within a neighborhood organization, the first Saturday of every month, if you have old tires in your neighborhood, you can take those tires down to Front Street. You just need a letter from your neighborhood organization. You can get rid of those tires for free. And since I was neighborhood president, you know, getting a letter wasn't a problem. I had printed up a form letter. So when people said they need, here you go. So I printed, just take them down there, had an organization's name on it. And for 3 months straight, the first time I went down there, I took out 60. Went back again that same day, took out another 60. Came back the next month, and it was like I hadn't even done anything.
You know, trash. I'm going to speak about the 3rd District, the 5th District, but I'm going to speak of Kansas City as a whole. We have a major problem with trash in our city. As those that know me, I'm a trash man. I pick up trash anywhere. And one thing that I put a lot of emphasis, holding businesses accountable for the appearance of that trash, specifically Family Dollars located all through our city.
Yeah.
They have a major trash issue. Some of y'all that know me, some that's listening, about a year ago, it was a pet peeve of mine. I was able to be educated, go beyond the code violation and a health code issue. When it's a health issue, it has to be treated in a totally different perspective. And once I got the health department involved on the one at 54th and Prospect,
yes,
they shut them down for 3 days until they corrected that problem. And then Family Dollars, I just been around to them. I monitor their trash bins, because you go to other parts of the city, it's not like that. And I don't only blame Family Dollar, because we as a community do a lot of illegal dumping at their trash bins because Family Dollar does not secure them in the correct manner that they should be secured. But us as a community, we quick to cry, we quick to point the finger, but when it's time to put on the boots and get out there and put in some work and correct this problem, we don't want to do that. It's only a few of us. It's a few.
So Charles, when people see illegal dumping happening, you know, or have sites where people have been illegally dumping in their neighborhood, you know, what can they do? I know they can call 311. They'll come out and put out cameras. But as I've driven certain parts of Kansas City, and I have to agree with you, it's like they are picking. If you go down off of Truman Road, or down off in the early part, you see all type of different things in people's yards. You know, in the third district, they write people up for sticks. If the sticks fall off the tree, you got a code violation for the stick that falls off the tree.
Right,
and I mean, how many days a week do sticks fall off a tree?
You know, you ask, how can you report this? 311 is one manner that you can report it to the city. And during that 311 conversation, they're going to give you a confirmation number where you can follow up. But what I do is basically deal with an app that is on my phone. It's called My KCMO app. And it's somewhat a lot of similarities with 311. I know we get frustrated with 311, being on hold or catching an employee that the previous conversation that they had with someone else kind of peed them off a little bit, so you catch a little irritation and everything. But with the 311, I mean, with the MyKCMO app, you can follow your whole process right over your phone, right over your phone. You can download this app, report it. You can attach pictures to it. It's very important to attach those photographs there, because someone now has a visual of what you're trying to describe.
And I want to add to that, for those who reside in the third district, there's bulky cleanup the first and last week of the month. Mm-hmm. It's not like it used to be when we grew up, where the truck came down the street the first week of every month and they just picked up. Folks, you have to make a reservation. You can make that reservation by calling 311, or you can go to kcmo.org/bulky item pickup. Put in your name, your address, your information, what you got on the curb, and make that appointment. You know, there's one house I keep driving by. There's I've seen it enough. There's two mattresses. There's building materials, and it's been there for 3 months. And all they would have to do is make a simple phone call to 311, or go online to the 311 app, and
or my KCMO app.
Yeah,
because it has various categories. From street repair to lights, street preservation, storm debris, emergency rental assistance. It has municipal court. You can follow that case from the beginning all the way to the end. And you have it already recorded here. With 311, they might give you a confirmation number. You might have misplaced that number, so when you call them back in inquiring about that case, you done replaced it. But my KCMO app, Joe, I utilize it. I drive down the street. I park my car, go over like the situation you had with the manhole a few weeks ago.
Yes,
that you can report that immediately. And if you put in the incorrect address, that app is capable of pinpointing
where you were at
that time when you reported, you know, so if it's a conflict. But I burn that app up.
I feel like the poster child for Kansas City, because when the police were here a couple of weeks ago, they were joking about that. And I want to give you a tidbit, folks. If you're ever driving, those numbers on the streetlight mean something to city employees.
They identify
where that streetlight is located. Mm-hmm. The location where I was at on 87th Street between 435 and 71 Highway, where the manhole cover came up out of the ground, I drove over it, it came up, it flipped under, tore the exhaust off, flattened my tire, cracked my rim. I had to have my car towed from that location. But when I called 311 immediately and I was telling her, she said, "Well, where are you at?" I said, there's no street here, but I said, there's a number on the street sign, because I knew.
On the light pole,
yes. There's a number there. Let me give you that number, and I will identify you to where I'm at.
Right. Yes,
and she's like, I'm like, yes, I used to chair the Mayor's Commission for Neighborhoods, and I've been to all the meetings, so I knew those different things to be able to do. So if you're ever in a situation, folks, that's also for calling in for trash and different items. You know, those numbers on those poles mean something. You can use those numbers to get that correct location, so you can get that cleaned up.
That's good. That's good information, Joe. I learned something there.
So, Charles, as we close out, you still need more volunteers, but, you know, when do you have any plans to expand to any other programs that you're currently not offering?
Yes. At this particular time, I Am Our Brothers being reconstructed a little bit. due to some technical things that I have to correct with it. But we would love to expand. I will partner with any other entity. I am my brother's keeper, long as something positive within our community. There's no fee attached to it. I don't believe in continuing to take money out of our community. We don't have nothing. It's time to give or coming together collectively and correct that problem.
Provide the contact information one more time.
Once again, my name is Charles Johnson, Executive Director. I am my brother's keeper. I can be reached at area code 816-529-8166. Email is cj.iammybrotherskeeper@gmail.com. I am my brother's keeper is one word.
So tomorrow starts July the 1st.
Yes.
It starts the month of July. Yes. Officially, we are more than halfway through the year.
Yes.
But we're also looking at those food drives for July. What days are they going to be on?
The food drives for the month of July. Hold on, Joe.
Should be the 14th and probably the 28th if we're looking at...
The 14th, which is the second Thursday of the month, and the 28th, which is the last Thursday of the month, the fourth Thursday.
And they're going to be held where?
3634 Brooklyn, Mount Sinai Baptist Church, whose pastor is Dr. Alfred White.
And what time do they start and end?
From 10 a.m. to noon or until everything is gone.
Is there anything else that you would like people to know about the organization? You know, volunteering and helping helps the community.
Yes, volunteering is with nonprofit organizations, volunteering is very essential. We move on volunteers. But I close with get engaged with your community. Get engaged. Get engaged in a positive manner. Don't think just because the problem is down the street, it's not your problem. Because if it's down the street, eventually it's going to come up the street. Don't cry when it's in your yard. Cry when it's in Miss Mary's yard down the street just as well.
That's a great point. We never end Cowtown Conversations without a community minute. I would like to thank Charles for being our guest today.
It's been my pleasure, bro.
So it's going to get oppressively hot, folks. And if you are age 65 and older and you don't have an air conditioner, you can qualify for Bishop Sullivan's Project Elder Cool. You have to be 65 years or older, have no air conditioning in the home, and live under the 150% of the poverty guidelines, and not have received an air conditioner from WILS or Bishop Sullivan in the last 3 years. If you have a respiratory disability, they will also give you one. Receive disability due to a respiratory condition or a disabling condition that is made worse by respiratory issues. You don't have air conditioning, again, below the poverty level, and haven't received an air conditioner from them in the last 3 years. Call Bishop Sullivan at 816-231-0984. And they have certified engineers that will help electricians that will come out and make sure that things good. And then they used to offer people a little bit of a subsidy to make sure that air conditioner, if the bill went up, would you be able to afford it? So give them a call. Also, it is time for the August primaries, and the deadline to register is almost here. July 6th is the deadline here in Kansas City, Missouri for the August primary. And the deadline to register to vote in Kansas is July the 12th. And then tomorrow, Councilman Ellington is going to have his first Friday event at Soiree from noon to 2. So if you've got questions, you want to come out and see people to talk about things in your community, tomorrow, Soiree from noon to 2. It's located in 18th and Vine District. So next week, join us as we have our KKFI high school interns in. They're going to discuss their summer internship program here at the radio station. For Cowtown Conversations, have a great day. Have a safe 4th of July holiday. If you're susceptible to COVID, folks, wear a mask. And stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.